So Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, that's where we're going to be at this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, and I'm going to read through verse 16. So Paul writes, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Let's pray. Excuse me. Father, we just do thank you for this morning. And we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that your word is alive, it's active, it's able to pierce the deepest parts of us. And God, we pray now that you would just prepare your people for your word this morning. We pray that you would speak to them, and their hearts would be ready to receive all that you want for them this morning, God. We pray that they would have hearts that are ready to receive, coming, just anticipating what your word wants to say. And God, I ask that you would, Lord, empower me by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak to your people. Lord, I just want to be a vessel this morning, Lord, and I just want you to speak. So, Lord, empower me to do that, Lord, that you might bless and convict and encourage and admonish your people this morning. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you again so much. It's awesome to be here. I'm excited. It's such a huge blessing and I think a privilege. Pastor Tom is an awesome guy. You know, every Sunday morning, he encourages me like clockwork. Every Sunday morning, 6 a.m., sends me some sort of word of encouragement, just a verse or something to ministry, and it blesses me. And sometimes it has saved me. I have a part-time job there on the island, and so a lot of my Sunday mornings are super important because I'm finishing my studies on Sunday mornings. I get up like at 5 in the morning, or it's 4:30, and then I'm at the cafe by 5. And I'm finishing up, and one day I overslept. I totally overslept. And then, like clockwork, there was Pastor Tom's, like, ding, on that text. And I saw it, I was like, ah, and I ran and got dressed and everything, and it was awesome. It totally saved me, and everything went great that day. It was awesome. So in this message this morning, this is just a section of scriptures that I love. I guess now that I think about it, as I was reading them, they're a piece of scripture that I've always wanted to teach on, and I mean, I just love how they minister to me. They always have been encouraging to me, especially if you are maybe in that mindset or come from that background of drugs and alcohol and these kinds of things that have just plagued you in your past. You know, a verse like this has always just ministered to me. You know, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forth. I mean, there's something, especially early on, that I often think. I mean, I never went through any kind of, you know, 10-step program or anything like that at all. It was just the Lord grabbed a hold of me, and then just the desire to do any of those things was just gone. And I definitely think it's something like this, these verses that have really encouraged me. But again, needless to say, in praying and seeking the Lord on for you guys, which I've been doing, and just asking the Lord, Lord, speak to your people this week. What do you have for your people here? And the word the Lord kept giving me as I read these verses and just was kind of meditating was this phrase, "We're not done yet. We're not done yet." And that's the word the Lord just kept giving me for your fellowship specifically. I mean, it's easy to grab, you know, some messages that I've been doing on Sunday morning, and there's definitely the temptation to do that. But again, I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going on in your fellowship, what's going on in your hearts, what's going on in your individual lives. All I know is that as I prayed and sought the Lord, this is where the Lord wanted to take us this morning. And so as we think about this, again, we're in Philippians, and if you know the background, Paul is struggling here just a little bit, right? He's working his salvation out. You see that in chapter 2, where he's really talking about how God is working in him and through him. He's in chains at this point, right? He was in jail. He's waiting to see King Herod there and whatnot in Rome. You know, he's under house arrest, and yet he's writing to the saints. He's writing to the leaders of the church. He's writing to the people that are serving within the church. And just what a great encouragement he is to the fellowship there. And I pray that just, again, God would just speak to you guys in that manner this morning. And so if you think about it, again, we're not done in Christ. And if you're in Christ, a follower of Christ, the Lord is never going to be done with you. I mean, really. I mean, if you think about it, there's always something that God wants to do in our lives, continually. I mean, there's definitely times where we've got trials, we have struggles or situations that occur in your life, and you kind of want to feel that way. You kind of want to feel sometimes abandoned, or you feel like the Lord is not working. But the reality is, he doesn't stop. He's never, ever done with this. You know, my pastor in San Antonio used to often tell us that you are invincible until God is done with you, right? You're here forever until the Lord wants to see you face to face, just as much as we want to see him face to face. But until that time, until as long as you still have a breath of air in you, God is still wanting to work. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, older or younger, or you've been there, done that. I mean, such a danger. I remember when I first came on to our fellowship there in San Juan Island, I was really just wanting to get a grasp and a heart for the islands there. I just really felt like the Lord put on me to start the Gospel of John. And so I'm going to do the Gospel of John. And I remember this gentleman came up to me after service, after I announced that. And he says, you know, I just, you know, I've gone through the book of John. I've read it. I've studied it. You know, I think we're just going to move on. We've already heard it all kind of. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, it was like, oh, you know, but that's so sad because, guys, God is always wanting to do something fresh. God is always wanting to do something new. And I think that it's up to us, right, to come with this fresh expectancy. And I think even this morning, in whatever season you are in your life, God is wanting to do something fresh. And it's a matter of us, too, of just this yearning, this fresh expectancy. Lord, what do you want to do? And I guess if you're thinking that way, you know, I guess the word for you this morning is that, hey, the Lord is saying, yes, I do want to do something new. I do want to do something fresh. We're not done yet. One of the greatest examples I think of in the Old Testament is, if you remember, in the book of Numbers, when the children of Israel had just come out of Egypt, and they're gathered around, and we have Joshua and Caleb, and the Lord sends them out, you know, to go and spy out the land. I mean, they go out there, and they're in it. They see it, and they're like, wow, just like, you know, Moses has been telling us, there's a land flowing with milk and honey. And they come back, and they're like, man, it was awesome. Check out these grapes, and they're munching on them. And then there was those naysayers, like, oh, no, it's great, but, dude, there's a lot of people there, and they're huge. They're going to take us out. And no way, we're not going there. And so they spent the next, you know, 40 years wandering. But then you go then to the book of Joshua in chapter 1, and here you have, again, Joshua and Caleb, once again, the Lord telling them, hey, it's time to go. Like, get the people ready. Way back 40 years ago, this is what I wanted for you guys, to go into the promised land. And here we are 40 years later, and Joshua and Caleb are still there, ready to go in. I love that. Here they are, 40 years older. They're like, I don't know, maybe they're in walkers now or something. Who knows? You know, and they're like, let's go and take them out. And I mean, seriously, they're all around a bunch of young bucks probably, because if you read the whole story, you realize that everyone who rejected God at that time, God said, until all those guys grow old and die, then you're going to move in. So Joshua and Caleb are surrounded by a bunch of young bucks, you know, and they're just like, let's go for it. Let's do it. And I love that, because just an Old Testament example of what I think Paul was saying here, forgetting those things which are behind. There's a lot of baggage there. There was a lot of hurt there. You know, there was a lot of shenanigans. Remember, right after the book of Numbers there, they wanted to start a committee. Hey, let's get someone to represent us to go back to Egypt and get us a place back into Egypt. And they were like, no, you can't do that. And as you go in there, there was a bunch of rebellion. There was a whole like calf thing, you know, and the weird like dance midnight party kind of thing that happened. And so obviously there was baggage there. There was heartache there. Joshua and Caleb saw a lot of things happen, and yet their heart was we need to press on. Let's go. Let's do this thing. God has been wanting to do something all along. And I just love that great example of them having a fresh expectancy, wanting to just let go of what was behind them and to keep pressing forward. Look at, if hopefully you're still there in Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 7, and then this kind of gets us a little bit of context as we really kind of focus in on verse 12. But there, Paul says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. But if you look at that main verse, the verse that really stands out there is verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Here's Paul. I mean, Paul has been through a lot. I mean, you think about, you know, Joshua and Caleb, these are like, you know, faith giants, right? And then you look at Paul, and all that he's gone through, being shipwrecked and tortured and all these kinds of things. And yet, here he is as a man that we would see, wow, this guy's awesome, huge man of faith. Yeah, let's go follow Paul. He still was saying, I want to know the power of the resurrection of Jesus. I haven't attained it. I haven't fully grasped that yet, but I still desire to know that and want that. Right in the middle of his chains, if you think about it, right in the middle of being under house arrest, his desire in his heart is, I still feel like God is not done with me. I still have so much more to go forward in, and I haven't attained this. So he's writing to the church. So it's not like I've grasped this and I'm saying, hey, church, do what I did. But no, I'm right there with you, wanting to know the power of the resurrection of the Lord. Why? Because again, as long as we're still breathing and alive, doesn't matter if you've been there, done that, old or young, or Tom's age, right? God is, just joking. God is always all about wanting us to come to him with this fresh expectancy. It's such a heartbreak to have that mindset maybe, well, I've already done that, I've kind of been there, or it's like, it's kind of the time for these younger guys. Like, no. God is never, ever done with us, right? He's always wanting and calling us forward, again, with expectancy, right? Look what he says there in verse 12, not that I have already attained, right? It's not that I've been there again, done that, right? Or that he's fully lived this out. I mean, again, I imagine that even in here, you know, with his heart, some of the decisions that he's had to make and the things that he's gone through, he's still in a place, again, with circumstances being what they are, saying, I haven't attained, but I'm still desiring. I'm wanting to press forward, fully knowing the resurrection power of Jesus wasn't there yet. And that's the reality, right? We're not going to know that fully. Oh, there's definitely times of getting taste of it, but to fully know the resurrection power of Christ, that will happen when we finally see Jesus face to face. When we've seen finally the resurrection transform these lowly bodies into the body that will be able to withstand the glory of God. And that's exciting. That's awesome. That's something to look forward to, right? Then we'll really grasp. But Paul says, I haven't attained that yet. I'm still pressing on. I'm still going forward, right? Even despite my present state, right? And look at the challenge, I think, for us, maybe this morning and for you and wherever you're at in your life. Right? Going on, he says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. I press on. I keep pressing on, right? It's already kind of alluding to this whole thing of being in a race. A lot of times you'll see Paul, you know, kind of give examples of being a farmer and these other things, but here specifically, the reference and the example he's using is of that of being in a race, being in it for the long haul, not just this short sprint, but a marathon of going on. This is the big picture. And again, maybe wherever you're at right now, maybe something has happened here recently or whatever the case would be, and you're kind of seeing that as like, oh, it's over, or I'm done, or I hate this, or why didn't this work out the way it was supposed to? And yet Paul is saying, no, we keep pressing on. It's a part of the race. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's heartbreaking. Yes, change isn't fun. And yes, trials are not easy. It's not things that we look forward to. But in the middle of that, that's part of the race. And I want to say that. I really believe, too, that there is this compassion. It's not like I'm trying to be unfeeling for anyone that's going through great trials. I get that. And I don't know what it's like to walk in someone's shoes who's maybe dealing with cancer, with the loss of a child or something like that. I have no idea. But I can take God at his word as a Christian to say, okay, Lord, you're asking, you're calling me right now where I'm at to keep pressing on. The word press on means to pursue something with intense effort. Or it's kind of this thing of you continue pressing on, to keep pressing on. I love it. One of my favorite verses is from Hebrews chapter 11, right, that says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And sometimes that reward is just the grace to carry on, even despite trial, even despite heartache, right? Paul is pressing forward no matter the circumstances, no matter what, I mean, in jail, all these kinds of things, but knowing that Jesus has something for him. Look what he says going on. That he says, I keep pressing on, right? For that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And here he's specifically not even really almost talking to the church per se in that sense, but he's even kind of giving testimony. Look, I'm going to press on because Christ Jesus held on to me and his calling in my life is for me to hold on to him. Right? And that's his calling. That's what he's encouraging us even to this day. That's why I could say like, okay, we're not done yet. We're not done because God still has a hold of me here. And as long as God still has a hold of me here, then he's not done with me here. Right? There's still so much more. I mean, here, the reference there is that the pressing on, right? Paul, the way he writes it, it's like from the time that he was saved to his present moment, God is calling him to still hold on, to still cling to him. And here is the next thing about this, right? Look at this part of this. And this kind of comes into sometimes the things that can hinder us from pressing on, right? Paul says this, I press on, right, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. It's just kind of like admitting to us. Like, I might not understand it. I might not get all the details of why I'm going through this. Right? I don't get why I'm in chains. I would much rather be out there among the brethren serving and doing this and doing that. He says, but one thing I do in all of this, I'm pressing on, right? And I forget those things that are behind me, forgetting what's behind, and I move on. Right? I love how he writes it. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, right? It's not forgetting God, per se. I mean, there's definitely, the Bible definitely speaks that we shouldn't forget what God has done in our past in a good sense, right? But definitely, I mean, there's a chance that I just want to read these verses to you real quick. In Judges chapter 8 in the Old Testament, I mean, here is definitely an admonishment to not forget what God has done in our life, because that can be bad on one sense, right? In Judges chapter 8, verse 33, right? And just kind of this little couple verses here, it says, so it was as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. So it's not like forgetting God, I'm putting all things aside and forgetting God per se, but it's more of forgetting our past failures, our stumblings, letting go of things that have frozen us to the point where we're not fully engaged in the future and in the now, right? I love what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and then this kind of reference. In 1 Timothy 1:12, he says this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, right? Because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, right? So we get that. It's forgetting those things that keep us from moving forward in the Lord, right? Or hanging on to the way things used to be, right? To the point that we can't move forward, right? Because all of a sudden, we're not in that race anymore. And so maybe that's where some of us are at today. I don't know. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Looking and straining ahead. I love that reaching forward. So it's forgetting the past, but then reaching forward. In the sense there, the reaching forward is almost, it gives you that sense of Paul was like really stretching. It's almost kind of like, have you ever seen him like when they're running those big races, you know? And like you see them at the finish line and they kind of do this where they twerk their whole body like out and they're like trying to like just get the tip of their chest on the finish line. That's kind of the word picture that Paul is giving there when it comes to forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward. Because if we don't, man, it can really cripple us. I remember a long time ago in kindergarten, I was in kindergarten, and you guys ever play Duck Duck Goose? Do you remember Duck Duck Goose, that game? We were outside in the yard playing Duck Duck Goose. And so, you know, I was the one, what is that? The goose, right? When they say the goose. And I was like running in circles, you know, running from the kids. And I was like, you know, just like running. But I wasn't watching ahead. I wasn't looking forward. I was looking behind me. And then when I finally looked forward, I went right into a metal pole. Like, boom. I mean, just blood. Just, it was coming out. I remember they had to take me to the hospital and get stitched up. I still have a scar to this day right in the middle of my forehead there. Because what Paul is saying here is looking back, again, maybe past failures, maybe past hurts, looking back and holding on to the way things used to be, you know, that can hinder us. It can hinder us from moving forward. And in some in places, it can hurt you. I mean, physically, I got hurt. It was getting stitched up for the second time in my little kindergarten life. But here's the reality, and maybe that's where, again, the Lord is speaking to you this morning. Look forward. Don't hang on to us. Look forward, because what? He's not done yet. Yeah, look back at God's past faithfulness. Yes, amen. Look back at the times and how God got you out of a jam. Yes. But looking back to the sense where you're holding on, man, those things can hinder. They can hinder because God is wanting to do a new thing today, right now. In you, right? I mean, that's what the Lord is wanting to do, pursuing this. So look at it goes on in verse 14. He says there, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So it's like looking, not looking back, but looking forward to who? Looking forward to Jesus. I mean, it really does come back over the years of walking with the Lord and doing all these things. It really does come back to that very simple thing of just looking to Jesus. And sometimes it's like, oh, well, that's just like the pastor thing to say. It's like you go in there and you sit in there with the pastor and you're like, yeah. Well, look to Jesus. Oh, man, that guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. No, like it really is a serious thing to look to Jesus, to look unto Jesus. And here, Paul, he says there, I press in. When he says again, I press on to the upward call, it's the same word that he used in the beginning of pressing on, pursuing with this wild craziness that he had before. And what's rowdy about that is that it's the same phrase and same wording that Paul uses to describe himself when he was persecuting and chasing the church. It's like he took all the energy that he had before, and that's almost maybe like kind of maybe a rebuke to us in a certain degree. Because think about how many times we, you know, we're sitting and we're kind of doing our thing, and we're walking in the Lord, and we feel like the Lord is not acting, he's not moving, and you know, and we're just kind of weirded out, and then yet we'll go. And this is, okay, this is just not to pick on Seahawks fans or anything like that. But you think about that same intensity that sometimes we'll use to go and chase after, you know, the things like football or whatever. You know, we'll go in there and we'll paint ourselves out and we're like, God, Seahawks. And we're like, ah, you know, and we're just like, we'll jump and we'll freak our kids out, you know, and, you know, because we're yelling at the TV screen or whatever the case would be. You know, but it's like, okay, well, let's press into the word. Hon, let's get into the word. And you're just like, okay. What? Oh, yes, we're in that. You know, and it's like, no, it's pursue, chase after with full abandonment, with the same energy that Paul was wanting to kill people with, to take that energy now and to press into the Lord. Now, again, don't make a mistake. It's not like this works-minded thing, because Paul is saying, I'm pressing on with the same intensity that Jesus also has a hold of me. And that's a fact, man. When you're pressing on, know that on the other side of that, right, God is holding on to you just as intently. Right? Because he's always wanting to do something new. He's always wanting to work, right? There is always that word. You can always say, we're not done yet. He's not done. We're not done. And it's not just like a catchy phrase or anything, but that really is the heart of God here for us, the church. Again, I get it, you know. Trials, they can, you know, they can mess with this disappointment. You know, that can hurt us, but really, in the big picture, they're just hurdles of a part of the race. It's part of the race, right? A lot of those trials and changes and things are really, they're just part of us, you know, going forward. You know, sometimes the race is not easy. That's right. But it's definitely a call to put our eyes on Jesus with such intensity that God, I mean, it's like in Philippians chapter 2, right, verse 12 and 13, where he says that it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. I mean, that's what God is saying, you hold on to me intensely, and I'm going to hold on to you intensely, and we're going to work this thing out together, right? Because we're not done. And then here in verse 15, look what he says here going on. He says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. I think here Paul, as he's really encouraging the church there, calling the elders, the leaders, he's saying, hey, can we agree on this? It's basically what he's saying. Can we agree? Those who call themselves Christians, those who are mature in the faith, can we agree to do this? Can we agree to walk together with that same heart? And again, don't make a mistake. It's not man up. Let's man up now and let's do this thing because God is not done. No. Can we agree to look that Jesus wants to keep working in us? Can we agree that Jesus is still not finished with us and he still has things that he wants to do in us? He wants to move us forward. And I think here, just kind of in closing, just some things to think about. Whether as a church, you know, things have changed, or again, maybe you agree, you don't agree. Can we be mature believers? Can we agree that maybe just God is wanting to do something different? And again, please understand, like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay? I mean, in this sense, in that me saying that, I have no idea. It's not like I collaborated with Tom Ray. I don't know anything. I'm saying this by faith that, Lord, that this is for someone here this morning. That can we agree as mature believers that we can trust Jesus? If Jesus is saying, hold on to me just as much as I'm going to hold on to you, can we agree then to move forward? Right? Because he's not done yet. We're just seeing bits and parts of the race. You know, I love it when I think about, you know, going to the island and just traveling around. Isn't it just a beautiful thing as you go down the road, you just see all these different sights and they're so different. And sometimes we want to hold on to them. We want to just kind of soak in and enjoy that moment. But the reality is that that's not what we're to be camped on. There's still so much more until we get to the destination. And we have to realize that things are going to change and they're going to be different. Or B, you know, maybe as an individual, maybe you're holding on to a past hurt or a disappointment. And you know, the reality is it's hindering your present walk with Jesus. Can you allow him to heal you and to bring forgiveness into your heart and your life right now? And to just let it go. You know, and for me, maybe this was just for me. It was just like, Lord is just speaking to me, you need to move on, and we're not done yet. And maybe that's why, because there's definitely times where I've kind of gotten bummed and, you know, about this, and yet I know that I can't hold on to those things. We can't hold on to those things and still, honestly, in all maturity, move forward with the Lord. There's no way, right? Because when we have broken relationships this way, there's no way that we can come and worship and seek the Lord like in truth, right? Because that's what the Bible says, right? Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if we're bringing that into our time of worship, whether it be here in the building or just in your personal time, I mean, really, you are going to stay kind of on that little hurdle. You're going to be kind of like next to the hurdle, like, oh, like holding your ankle because you've tripped it over it, so to speak. And you're crying out and stuff, but until you've come to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and it's definitely hard, there's no doubt about it, but I'm going to move forward. Because his word to hear to me, his word to us, is we're not done yet. We still don't see how yet this whole thing is going to play out and how it's going to work out. But there definitely is an occurrence that we're not done yet. And then maybe, lastly, to this person here, you know, to the unsaved or the person who hasn't got right with the Lord, and maybe you're kind of like that. That's where I was at, right? You know, coming to God with all this junk and all this wickedness, and I mean, it was definitely something. I heard a buddy of mine during those heydays we used to party with all the time, and you know, I would usually break him up. I mean, it was just kind of a messed up time, and I remember him, you know, he would beat up these guys or whatever, and then they'd drag him out there. And then I would talk to him to try to calm him down. But it always came down to this conversation of, and I don't know why it did, and obviously that was the Lord, but man, how is God going to forgive me for all this stuff? Now, mind you, we had no thoughts about God whatsoever, but it always came down to this weird conversation in the middle of our drunkenness. How is God going to forgive us? And the reality is, God can and God will and God wants to, and he desires that. Because here is this verse again, once again, telling us that just as much as God wants you to forget those things that are behind, the cross of Jesus does that same thing for you today. He wants to wash all that junk, all the stuff that you brought. He's not surprised by it. Like, he gets it. Like, you've seen it, right? And God wants to take you and forgive you and make you a brand new creature. And he's the one person in the entire world that will not hold it against you. It's easy. Maybe some of us and many of us have asked for forgiveness from people, whatever. And then, early on, and my dad's totally different now, and he's saved now. Awesome. Praise God. But I remember this thing he would tell me as a young kid. He says, I will forgive you, but I won't forget. That's not real forgiveness. And that's not God. God is the one man who will come and say, when you're forgiven, it's done. It's over. It's finished. It's finished. Right? That's why he says that it was finished at the cross. And so maybe in those three cases, maybe any one of those things, they're for you this morning. And I pray that God would speak to you even now, even to that man who's in a place of can God really forgive me? The Bible is clear. Yes, he can. He wants to, because he's not done with you yet. He's not done with you. So we're going to pray right now. And I just want to kind of lay it out there. I don't know how you close the service, Tom, or whatever, but let's just close our eyes, bow our heads kind of a deal, and I'm going to pray. And I just want to give maybe an opportunity for any of those here who are kind of in that category, that maybe today is the day the Lord just really wants to touch you. He wants to bring you that forgiveness. He wants you to kind of, he wants to bring you through that, whatever you're holding on to. But let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning, God, and Lord, I pray that your word went out in power and it spoke to those individuals that you wanted to speak to, Lord, maybe as a church. And Lord, I pray right now, even right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to work in the hearts of those that are yours and those hearts of those that you're calling out, those that are you're asking to take a step of faith, whether it's forgetting those things that are behind, maybe forgetting those things that in their hearts they feel they've been wrong, they've been betrayed, whatever the case may be. But today would be the morning that really, Lord, you free them from that. Because without even realizing it, Lord, they're in chains. You're in bonds right now. And the Lord wants to free you from that. Maybe this morning, maybe it's not even about that. Maybe you're just in a place of where you've messed up in the past, maybe here recently. And it's like the enemy just keeps just replaying that scenario over and over and over in your head. The word to you this morning, the Lord would want to say is that he's not done with you yet. That's the enemy speaking to you. Just as much as he's called us this morning to forget those things which are behind, he has. He's forgotten it. If you've come to him in sincerity of heart, he's forgiven. And now he just wants you to lay it down and to press on, to hold on to him. And then maybe, again, you're that third person. You just have not gotten right with God. And God has been chasing you, and you keep thinking, well, God's not going to forgive me for this and that. Or if these people knew, man, you know what? Today is a day that God wants to bring you into his house. Today is a day of salvation, right now where you're at. If there's any one of you in that category, any three, just right where you're at, stand right where you're at. And by you standing, there's not anything magical happening. It's just you taking a step of faith and saying, yes, Lord, I'm one of those three persons. And today's the day I want to leave it in the house of God. I want to lay it at the altar. And I want to forget those things which are behind. And I want to press forward by holding on to Jesus. Is there anyone today, just right where you're at, stand. And we're going to pray with you and for you. I'm not going to ask you to see which one of your categories you're in. But we're going to pray, thank you, Lord. God bless you. Anyone else? And by you standing, that's you exercising a step of faith. You, between you and God, you know what's going on. You know the things that need to be pushed to the side. You know the things that need to be let go. God knows it's between you and him. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else this morning? Don't let the enemy whisper in your mind, saying, hey, you know what? I'll deal with this later. You know, I'll go into the quietness of my house and Lord, we'll figure this out. No, you got to take a step of faith. You got to take a step of faith right now. If God's ministering to you by his Holy Spirit, right now where you're at, God bless you and you. It's just like that woman who was bleeding for all those years. You know, she just took that step of faith, saying, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She didn't know what was going to happen. She didn't know how it was going to work. She just knew that she just needed a touch from the Lord. And maybe that's you this morning. You by standing, that's kind of you stepping out, saying, Lord, touch me. I don't know how this is going to work out. Lord, I'm not even saying that I'm going to be done with this, Lord, but I want to press on. I want to press in. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Well, Father, you see the hearts of every individual here. Lord, you know exactly why they stood. Lord, you know what's going on in their hearts, in their situation, their circumstance. And Lord, I pray that today's word would be cemented in their hearts this morning. That God, you are not done. We're not done yet. And Lord, I pray by faith that this morning, just as they step forward and just this step of faith, God, Lord, that the thing that's going on, the thing they need forgiveness for, they're acknowledging, Lord, that as your word says, you would work it out between them and through fear and through trembling, Lord, because it's knowing that it's you who wants to work in them for your good pleasure, God. Lord, so bless your precious people, Lord. Lord, protect them from the enemy who would later want to downplay this decision they made, this response to your word they've made in their hearts, God. And Lord, let them walk out of here leaving those chains behind, Lord, leaving those things that have been hindering them from looking forward to pressing in, God. Lord, would you bless them, Lord, and encourage them, Lord, and refresh them, Lord. Let them walk out of this place today with a sense of fresh expectancy from you, Lord. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.